And as you can see, it's going to be a little bit longer. No, not longer, just later than we would normally have been doing it, because there was quite a lot happening. But I promise you, if you give me 20 minutes, we'll be done. We've got to be done before the lights go off anyway. And so if you have a Bible, turn to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to read from verse 1. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. I'm just going to read that far. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service. Thank you, Lord, for the joy we can experience in so many different ways. Thank you for the gratitude we can have in our hearts for so much that you have done for us. And now, Lord, as we turn to your word, thank you that your Holy Spirit, who inspired it, is right here to help us understand it. So we give this time to you and ask, Father, that each one of us will leave this place having met in a new way with the risen living Christ. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Studies have shown, and I'm not just kind of making this up, that wanting a relationship with deity is in fact a universal longing. This is seen in the fact that virtually all religions, all world religions, doesn't matter whether they're minor religions or major religions, all religions have a set of laws to keep. And if you can distill out, you find about 8 laws that are common to all the religions, including Christianity, quite frankly. So each major religion has a set of rules that they say, if you keep these, then you can have a relationship with deity. If we want to have a relationship with deity who is holy, then we just need to keep these laws and we can have that relationship. And so that's what we do. We go out and try and live up to the rules of our chosen religion, but the truth of the human condition is this: no one is capable of perfectly living a perfect life. No one is capable of perfectly living a perfect life. I mean, who of us has ever can say that we haven't done anything ever that we are ashamed of? That we wouldn't mind all sharing in that thing. Who of us haven't done something that we're embarrassed about? Every religion nevertheless says, yes, the laws, keep them, and you can have a relationship with deity. Now, Christianity too has a set of laws. But Christianity is different, because Christianity teaches us that in fact humankind is incapable of keeping those laws. That's what we teach. Yes, the laws, but by the way, you are incapable of keeping those laws. And so the story of the Bible is God reaching out to us. The story of the Bible is God sending his Son, who was able to perfectly keep the laws. The Son of God, who perfectly kept the laws, then offered himself as a substitute for us. That's what we celebrated at the communion table. The Lord Jesus Christ bore in his own body the penalty for our failure to keep the law. And so the good news is that which is humanly impossible, relationship with God, is now possible with Jesus. That which is humanly impossible is now possible in Jesus. We can have relationship, and that's why we call it good news. In fact, our text refers to this as treasure. This good news, it calls it treasure. Our ministry is to share this treasure, this good news, with those who do not yet enjoy relationship with God. So we can say to people, we can say, relax, relax. Those of you who are striving to be good enough, relax, relax. The job has already been done for us. Jesus did it for us. All you have to do is to recognize that you can never do enough to earn relationship. Admit it. Admit that we could never do enough. The biblical word for it is confess. Confess that you can never be good enough for Him, and then embrace the forgiveness that Jesus offers. And right now, you can get a foretaste of what eternal life in God's presence will be like. It's our ministry to tell others. And this good news that relationship with God is possible, that is referred to as a treasure. We have this ministry, and the content of it, the good news, is referred to as a treasure. And yet, there's a problem. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Now, the word used for jars of clay, it's a word that refers to something which is fragile. A jar of clay is something which is expendable. It's inferior. It's nothing special. It's ordinary. It's an everyday utensil. It's something which is subject to breakage and to being chipped. A jar of clay is not at all special. And for some reason, jars of clay have been assigned this unexpected task. It's jars of clay that are to be the receptacles of this treasure. Now, to me, it would have made more sense if this treasure were kept in silver or gold or maybe carved wood inlaid with gold or something like that. One would think the container should match the treasure. Well, that isn't what this verse says. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this good news that relationship with God is possible through Jesus. It's carried around in jars of clay. Okay, so what is Paul speaking about when he speaks about jars of clay? What is he referring to? I know it's not very flattering, but Paul is referring to us. He says, we, you, me, Paul, we are jars of clay. We, frail, chipped, pieces missing, not that durable because we break easily. We are the receptacles of this amazing treasure. What was our Lord thinking when He commissioned people like you and me? No one knows better than me how unqualified I am for the enormity of the task of sharing this good news. And yet, we have been entrusted with this treasure. We have been given this ministry of sharing this good news, and it's contained in jars of clay. But then when I started to think about it, I realized, well, this is God's way. God has always used jars of clay. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose. He chose the foolish things to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. In fact, I want to say, if we thought we were good enough, we would immediately disqualify ourselves. God has a long history of choosing jars of clay type people, redeeming them and using them. Think of Abraham, referred to as the friend of God. Abraham boldly stepped into the unknown. He showed enormous faith. He's rightly considered the example of what faith looks like, but he was fundamentally a jar of clay, and it wasn't long before we saw that he was a jar of clay. There he was journeying. He crossed the border into foreign land. The leaders took a fancy to his wife, Sarah. No, he said, she's not my wife. She's my sister. You see, he was scared that they would kill him, her husband, to get Sarah. And so he threw Sarah under the bus. She's my sister. You know what? He did exactly the same thing not long after that for the same reason. Father Abraham was a jar of clay, but God redeemed him, redeemed his brokenness, and Abraham became useful in the hands of God. I guess Jacob is my favorite jar of clay. He spent his life conniving and manipulating. I forget the idea that Jacob was a lovable jar of clay. But one thing he didn't appear to be was destined to be useful to God. And then he had that encounter with God. And he was confronted by the fact that he was nothing more than a jar of clay. And God was able to redeem him. And God was able to use Jacob. Yes, he was a jar of clay. But that didn't disqualify him. Do you know that Rahab the prostitute was part of Jesus' genealogy? You can read Matthew's genealogy, and there Rahab's name appears. James speaks about Rahab and speaks about her in positive terms, but his designation for Rahab is Rahab the prostitute. But when Joshua needed work done in order to accomplish the work of conquering the land that the Lord had given them, you know who he relied on? Rahab the prostitute, a very obvious jar of clay whose brokenness was redeemed. King David is legendary, isn't he? Faithful to God during incredibly difficult times, but David was a jar of clay. We saw that when we looked at the story of David and Bathsheba, guilty of adultery, guilty of murder, an obvious jar of clay, and yet God redeemed his brokenness. And David served the purposes of God. Cannot talk about jars of clay without referring to an incident in Jesus' ministry. Here was a woman caught in the very act of adultery. She was actually dragged out of bed, publicly humiliated, brought before Jesus. I can never not feel emotion when I read the story. Can you imagine how that woman felt? Yes, of course what she was doing was wrong. But where was the man? Why wasn't he called to account? Those Pharisees had an agenda. They wanted to humiliate Jesus, and they didn't care who they hurt in the process. They arrogantly thought they were the perfect vessels for doing God's work. The truth is, they knew nothing of the treasure of the good news of forgiveness. They did not qualify to have that treasure. And Jesus turned the tables on them, and he said, "Let the one without sin cast the first stone." And they all slunk off until it was just Jesus and the woman. Where are they, woman? Does no one condemn you? No one, Master, she says. Neither do I. Neither do I. Don't you love those words? Neither do I condemn you. Go on your way. From now on, don't sin. Brokenness redeemed. She qualified as a jar of clay to carry precious treasure of the ministry of forgiveness. Just one more. Think of the Apostle Peter. "All of you will desert me," Jesus had warned. Brash, arrogant Peter challenges Jesus, and he said, "They might. I will never desert you." Well, the night of Jesus' arrest, Peter tried to make himself unobtrusive in the courtyard of the high priest. It was his accent that gave him away, you know. "You are one of them," the servant girl said. Three times Peter was found out. Three times Peter denied Jesus, the last time calling down curses. And as he did that, the rooster crowed, and across the courtyard, Jesus caught Peter's eye. And we read that Peter went out and wept, and wept, and wept. The ground didn't open up and swallow Peter, although I'm sure he wished that it would have. So Peter simply says, "I'm going fishing. I'm going fishing." He knows he's a jar of clay, fit only for menial stuff, until he meets Jesus on the beach. And Jesus recommissions Peter. Peter is a jar of clay, but now he gratefully carries the treasure, the message of forgiveness. Peter, brokenness redeemed. So how are you feeling this morning? How are you feeling? I know some of us just don't feel worthy of the Lord. We just don't feel that we are good enough. We don't feel that we can offer the Lord enough. A man was discussing spiritual things like this with a pastor once. And at one point the man said, I'm just not good enough. Let me go and work on it some more and then we'll come back and continue talking. The wise pastor responded, the question isn't, am I good enough? The question is this, am I bad enough? You see, if we think we are good enough, we are immediately disqualified. Jesus is looking for jars of clay. Jesus is looking for those who are willing to admit that they are jars of clay and to allow Jesus to redeem them. Here is the truth. We are all jars of clay, each one of us. It must be so. I mean, Paul says we have this ministry in jars of clay. You, me, all of us are jars of clay. None of us are worthy of the honor of being entrusted with the treasure of letting people know forgiveness is possible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The first truth is we are all jars of clay. But here's the second truth. We have all been entrusted with this treasure since through God's mercy we all have this ministry. Paul includes himself with you and with me, all having this ministry. We who know forgiveness can announce forgiveness. Jesus' final command to us was this, you, plural, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you, plural, will be my witnesses. No one is excluded. We have all been entrusted with this ministry of sharing the good news. If we have received and experienced forgiveness, we are commissioned. Take this treasure. It's in a jar of clay, but take it and share it. And here's the third truth. Some of us are so aware of our brokenness. Some of us are so aware of our jars of clay status that we feel unworthy. We doubt God can or wants to use us. An unnamed prostitute gate crashed a dinner for Jesus hosted by Simon the Pharisee. She had to overcome her shame in order to gate crash. And she arrived with a bottle of expensive perfume. Can she imagine how she must have felt walking to Jesus' feet, knowing everyone was looking at her, knowing that we all were looking with disapproval? But she was determined. She went to Jesus, who would have been reclining in customary fashion with his feet behind him. She goes to Jesus' feet. She kneels at Jesus' feet, weeping. She breaks the seal on the perfume. She pours it on Jesus' feet, all the while her tears are wetting Jesus' feet. Embarrassed, she lets her hair down. By the way, by letting her hair down in public, she proved she was a social outcast because no proper person would let their hair down in public. She let her hair down. What else could she do? She had to dry Jesus' feet with something. And she used her hair to dry the tears on his feet. The Pharisee is disgusted. Jesus saw it differently. So Jesus challenges the Pharisee because he saw the disapproval of the Pharisee. Jesus understands this woman is giving expression to her love for Jesus. Why did she love Jesus so much? I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. She knew forgiveness, and her response was an outpouring of love for the one who had forgiven her. And Jesus compares this prostitute's behavior with the obvious unloving treatment Jesus had got from the Pharisee. And then Jesus joins the dots for us, and he says, but whoever has been forgiven loves little. If we don't have a sense of forgiveness, of gratitude, Lord, that's who I was, you've forgiven me, we're not going to love as we ought to love. whoever has been forgiven, whoever has a sense of not having really needed forgiveness is going to love little. On the one hand, whoever has been forgiven loves little. But on the other hand, her many sins have been forgiven. And she was aware of it as her great love has shown. The truth is, we are all jars of clay. The truth is, we are all unworthy. The truth is, some of us don't see ourselves as being so unworthy. The question is not, how worthy am I? The question is, do I recognize my unworthiness? Because if we do, we qualify to be jars of clay and carry the treasure of this message. There is forgiveness in Jesus. There is forgiveness in Jesus. Never, never hold your past against yourself. Never, ever buy into the lie of the devil that you have disqualified yourself forever. And if you move among people who leave you feeling vaguely or horribly condemned, if you move among people like that, confront the lie with the truth. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, I am unworthy. Yes, I am broken, but here's the truth. Jesus has redeemed my brokenness. And I accept that this treasure is in a jar of clay. Go out and share the good news, fellow jars of clay. Shall we pray? Lord, we've heard the saying before, the ground at the foot of the cross is level ground. It's level ground. We are all equally sinners who need salvation. We are all equally jars of clay. We all need to hear the words, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. And Lord, as we hear those words, let our hearts rejoice. And let us embrace the privilege of sharing the good news. In Jesus, we can know forgiveness. We pray this in your name. Amen.